Well, I today want to lead us to guide our thinking and our thoughts in the school, in the school of prayer with Solomon. So we want to look at Solomon's prayer and what can we learn from his prayers and what he's doing here, what he represents here. Well, we see that Solomon is consolidating his rule, his reign as an anointed man of God to lead God's people. And he understood that very well. And he asked for wisdom, and God granted him wisdom, and God demonstrated that he threw him the wisdom of God in judging rightly. So this man now, he established the temple, and he brought in the Ark of the Covenant. And now he prays to prayers of dedication of the temple. So he prayed. But what I want to do today is to look at how he prays, and what can we learn from his prayers. Can we pray the similar? Are there any similar prayers like of Solomon in the Bible? And why, if there is, why the structure seem to be the same? Why the structure seem to be the same? Can we do the same? Because we are no any difference from God's people, from the past, present, and to the future. And our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he said of himself to his ancient people, he says it of himself to us today. And what he said of those who come into fellowship with him to be his own people, the blessings that he offers them will be the same to everyone who will come under his wing. So he who abides under the shadow of the Almighty shall abide. Who come and dwell under the shadow of the Almighty shall abide. Anyone, anywhere through all the ages. So now we see that Solomon is starting his prayer. And I want to start from verse 22, chapter 8 of 1 Kings. The Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the whole assembly of Israel. He spread out his hands toward heaven and said. So this man here is standing, really, before the people of God. And what he is doing here, he knows that this prayer of dedication is by the whole people. You see, praising God and thanking him for all that he has done and making his dwelling among these people and choosing the temple, this place with all the furnishes, with the tent of meetings and with the Ark of the Covenant representing the presence of God. Really, here Solomon is leading this big assembly in prayer. And now as he stood before these very people and pointing them to God himself, he himself pointing these people to God and saying that this is our God. We are a people who are under God. And God is the source of all the blessings we have, and he is our own rock. He is the rock of our of salvation. And now he stands before the assembly, the whole assembly, and he looked to heaven and he prayed at his hands toward heavens and said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heavens above or on earth below, you who keep your covenant of love with your servants who continue wholeheartedly in your way. So what is the thing? So he started by praising and adoring God. He starts with praises and adoration of this God. This is a great, really, lesson for us here. When we pray, whether together in our corporate prayers, so the first things which we should be doing is to be lost in praises and adoration of our God. The wonder of this God. The God, Solomon says, as God who has no equal, there is no one like him. He's not like the idols around them. So the nations around them, they worship idols made of human hands. But here, he says he is the God who does live in heaven. He is the God of heavens, the one who has created the heaven and the earth. This is what he says. There is no one like you in heavens above or on earth below. He praises God and he adores him for who he is, the creator God. And that is a one step to open the keys of the throne of God. You see, it's one of the secrets that the scriptures is giving us, that if you want to have access into the presence of God, you need to come with awareness that He is a marvelous God, He's a mighty God, He's a glorious God. And yet He's inviting you into His presence. And all that you should be doing is to be lost in adoration and awe. And so if this hasn't been your practice, and I do believe this is your practice, but may we excel even more and more, and to find out about God's character and to praise Him. That is why when I first came to this country and I'm going through the hymn books, the Presbyterian hymn books here, so there were a few old songs that are there. So I love the Immortal Invisibles, All Wise God, because it's full of descriptions of God Himself. You see, I can just go on singing this. Yeah. You see, immortal, invisible. Even though our theologians, our current theologian, will say these attributes of God are what they call in the classical theism as non-communicable or communicative attributes. You see, this is what they said. Yeah, and then when I said that to my Old Testament lecturer, they said, "What about that non-communicable or communicative attributes?" You see, because we can relate to God who is love. You see, but the majestic and infinite God, immortals. How can we enter into this? And nevertheless, the Bible presents to us God in this way, which separates Him from us. You see, as the living God, and no one will ever have these qualities. And that is what makes Him God Almighty, divine, powerful, glorious. And when we come to Him, we enter into his nature. You see, we were just doing in one of our service, and I think it was last week when I was preaching from here. And then Peter tells us that God invited us to participate in His divine nature. How about that? His divine nature has this God who has no equal. We are going to have a union with Him. This is a mystery. This is a great mystery. Something, a mind that has no faith can never fathom. You see, a natural mind and a hard heart, a heart of a stone that has not turned into a heart of flesh can never rejoice in this God. And the maker of the whole universe, our God, the one to whom we give an account, the one we fear so much in our dealing with others, in our lives, and not to do anything that would give a hint that we are rebelling from Him. Even the small decisions we make in terms of the things we intoxicate ourselves with, or even the thing that we get on our bodies, we belong to this divine God. He invites us into His presence. And Solomon is saying, what a privilege for us to be chosen. And this is what he says, a God who keeps His covenant. And now he realized that this God whom he praises, is the only God in heaven, the only God in heaven, above and on earth. This God to whom he prays is a faithful God. This is what he's telling us. You see, when all fail, even ourselves we fail, but he is God who never fails in all that he has determined to do. This God has chosen Israel to be his own people. That is why Solomon was able to call him, O Lord, God of Israel, though you are majestic and glorious and above us all, and yet you have made yourself closer to, you have revealed yourself to us, you came closer to us, and you have called us to be your own, and you are our God, God of Israel. A God that they can call a God of their own, their God. Can you say, oh my God, you are my God? And I think that is what I discovered in Psalm 63. The other day I was going to preach from this psalm, and then I realized that how am I going to do this psalm? Because this psalm starts with, oh God, you are my God. You see? Oh Lord, you are my Lord. Oh God, you are my God. Oh God, you are my God. You see? That is the thing. And I said, what is the difference between the first God and the second God? You see? And then I pull out my Hebrew Bible. And then to my amazement, was like, Elohim Eli Ita. God, Elohim, God, the Creator God. You are my God, El. So he uses Elohim, and then on the second God, he uses Eli, the personal God. So this God of the whole universe, you are my God. Even though you have made the whole universe, you are powerful, you are glorious and majestic, and yet you are my God. That is what really King David was saying to us. And this is his son, Solomon. He's saying, this God of David, God, his father David calls my God, is the God of the whole Israel, the God of the people he represents, the God of the people he leads. And now he can stand before this God and pray. With the presence of these people, he said, this is your people, O God. And he said, you God, you keep the covenant. You are a faithful God. You keep the covenant. You chose Israel out of all the nations. You fought their battles. And you are God who keeps his promises. You keep them now, and you will always keep this promise. That is what we should learn in this. He's a faithful God. When we come to him, we know as we pray, that is what this man will say. He will pray according to the word of God. He will pray according to the word of God. That is what he says. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heavens above or on earth below. You who keep your covenant of love. Covenant of love. In Hebrews, love comes also with mercy. You see, can be translated in that way. Love that is full of mercy. God, the covenant of love with your servants. The covenant of love, that means you have loved us even as weak as we are. We were not able to keep the covenant. We cannot keep the covenant. But in your faithfulness, in your love, you have kept us in this covenant. How about this? God of love. So he's describing God and his attributes. And this is, and who continue wholeheartedly. So you keep your covenant of love with your servants who continue wholeheartedly in your way. And even when we sinned, also you call us to repentance. That is why he says there that you will forgive. You are God who forgives. When a man, verse 31, when a man wrongs his neighbor and he is required to take an oath and he comes and swear the oath before your altar, in this temple, then hear from heaven and act. You see, hear from heaven and act. Even though God will condemn sin, but also he will forgive those who repent of their sins. So Solomon's here really giving us this wonderful, really message on how to pray. And then he says to them in verse 28, now, God of Israel, keep for your servant David, my father, the promises you made to him when you said, you shall never fail to have a man to sit before me on the throne of Israel. Basically, his prayer request. He's bringing his prayer request. He said, and his prayer requests were based on the word of God. You see, he's demanding that God fulfill what you have promised. And I think for us all, it's something we should really think about it seriously. The scripture is full of promises. And if we come just simply on the basis of these promises, you don't have to have done something great, but you come to God according to his word and do and ask him to bless you because he has says this, God will honor his word always. Can you think of any promise? You see, Jesus said, come to me, you are weak and heavy laden, isn't it? He said that. If anyone is thirsty, let him come and drink. You see, you can't come before God and you go back empty. And you go back the way you came in, isn't it? Because he says so. And that is what this man is saying. He said his faith is that God will keep him. Because God has promised that to his father that he will keep the person he will bring to the position of leadership, you see, for the sake of David himself. So he's praying, grant this to David, even he is not here, you see, with us. Grant this, you see. Sometimes we have parents who have, this, have said things to bless our lives, isn't it? Parents might have said something, and maybe you think it is not fulfilled, isn't it? But you have that even thinking of, maybe I want to see this. My father said this with faith that this will happen with me, you see? And then you just pray about this. Maybe your father prayed this. And then you can even think and reflect, and you think like, well, God can even answer these prayers even after his departure. Many people even have prayed for their children to come to faith, and then they depart, and yet God answers the prayers. So this man is saying, even this, when God answers his prayers, will be like fulfilling the prayers of his father. So this is one example he's giving us, and so here also we know, we as Christians, let us do it as Christian. He says, if only your sons are careful in all they do to walk before me as you have done. Did really David walk before God? Really, wholeheartedly, in such a way that he has never seen? No, that is not what this text is saying. If this verse would make us stumble, because he says God will bless only if we have never sinned. No, that is not saying. This implies, and I believe, that David, he was faithful and he was careful in all he did, in all his walk before God, because he was willing to acknowledge his sins before God. And we can do the same. And this verse should not discourage us. And to think that we have to do it ourselves. No, we are people who are living by grace and grace alone. And this God, he is not a God who changes. He's the same. He is a gracious and a merciful God. And so he went on to say, and now, God of Israel, let your word that you promised your servant David, my father, come true. Let it come true. Let me see the results of my prayers. You see, so this is one thing also we can reflect on. Let us pray also in such a way that we see results for our prayers. One of the problems, and I stop at this a lot. One of the problems maybe is theological. We think like if we press God so hard, and that is not right. God knows anyway our needs. You see? Yes, that is true. But as for you, all that you should be desiring is God's blessings and hearing your answer, giving you answers to your prayers. That is what he desires, actually. And when he denies us something, it's for our blessings as well. But his intention is for us to know his blessings and to grant us the blessing, especially the one that according to his will. And we will never know them, but we have to pray them, isn't it? They might be in his will. So I encourage you always that when we come before our God, we have just only one single thing in our minds: to get what we ask for. And this is not taken away from the fact that God may deny us this. And I mentioned this before. I said, how many things God has given us? If he has denied us this thing, well, he has given us many, 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 many things. So we cannot run away from him and say, oh, we don't like you anymore because you have just robbed us of this one. It's just like you have a cake, and then because the top part, they call it icing. So because there is no icing, so there's nothing good happened. There is no cake. That is not the thing. You see, we have the cake. And always, the thing that we don't have will always be ice cake. Or ice what? Icing. Will be icing. Always. Because the salvation we have received, no one will take from us. And we shall see Jesus face to face. All that he wants us to have here to manifest his blessings. That is what he wants us to do. And he said, no, don't just rejoice. for just small things, just you can have life unto full. You see, that was what we were talking about this morning. So let us pray and to see what we are praying for comes true. You see, and when it's not coming, so we will wait for it until we depart from this world. The one thing I prayed for many, many years ago, or I was praying and in my prayer, or I was preaching, and I asked the congregation, Sudanese group on Saturday, I said, if Christ has to return today, how would you want him to find you? Finding you enjoying all the blessings he has given you, or to find you still praying for the blessing that you are longing for? You see? That was just amazing. That didn't escape my mind to this day. And I said, I think I will choose that Christ will find me praying for the thing that he hasn't answered yet. Because that will show the level of engagement with him and my need for him. You see? Because sometimes we can just go away with the blessings, but God wants us to have this blessing anyway. That is why this man was praying. Do you think he was praying for God not to answer his prayers? No. And I want to have a congregation that pray for God to move by the power of his Holy Spirit, to empower them and to go out from this door and share the gospel with everybody and be saved. Or even if you have a financial need and to pray and to see God moving and just providing, or physical need to pray for God to touch you and heal you. You see? So I didn't know how God really in his grace really made me yesterday, as the testimony I shared. I was somehow weary. How am I going to go through this thing? I didn't feel particularly touched by the Holy Spirit. And then God just provided this man and shared testimonies that electrified not only me, but everybody else. And then influence remains to this day. How about that? Maybe it's a simple prayer. I prayed, Lord, please help me. Send help, send help. Help me. I can't do it. Yes. Then let us keep going. Let us pray. God will meet us. Don't stop praying. He understands. Trouble can never escape God's sight. You see, just get into the tomb and pray. But this thing, this situation is so unique and it's amazing. It's a celebration of what God has done, and also they are waiting for more to come. And so if we have received something, let us continue to pray for an abundant outpouring of blessings so that the enemy is kept at bay and we will not be just fighting for survival, but we will be thriving and overcoming and thriving in our faith and flourishing in our proclamation of the gospel, and also building us up in our holy faith, sharpening ourselves to be great instruments. You see, you open your mouth, you see, and people are saved. That is how God works when he pour out his blessing. That is what happens in revival when he uses men of God and women of God. You see, he just empowered them when they speak. So just see, people are saved. People are encouraged. So we can pray like that. So I just take this general up. And this man, sometimes in our prayers, also we wonder, is God is really going to answer my prayer? You see, can God really answer this prayer? So sometimes our prayers are mixed with doubt, isn't it? So don't be alarmed. Even this man also, in this prayer, he said suddenly, out of character, he said, but will God really dwell on earth? You see? The heavens, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you. How much less this temple I have built. You see? And yet, this is symbolic, isn't it? And God is God who has just provided this symbolism. He said, do this, do this. He gave them even how it's going to be built. Do it. I will honor this. I will come. And as you come and you stand here, the glory of God, we saw that last week, the glory of God, of the Lord, fill his temple. You see, fill his temple. That is verse 11 of this. Even with this, can really God dwell in that? Yes, he can. It sounded like Barack Obama. And then now, yet give attention. He went on, you see, he went on to pray in a way. Give attention to your servant's prayer, your servant prayers. Give attention. And then he said, hear These are the words he used. Hear the supplication. And so he uses God's senses. Your ears, your eyes, God's eyes. This is a personal God. Is he describing God? May your eyes be opened. May your ears be attentive to my prayers. And so as I was preparing, I was saying, how have you been praying recently? Have I ever really prayed like this to God? Or I lost track of how to relate to him in this way. Let your eyes be open. See my struggle. See my anguish. See the troubles I'm facing. Oh, see the waiting host. They want a word from you. Oh, Lord, my God, please come powerfully. Supply a word. Give me a word in season that I may speak to this waiting host and that they might be saved. You see, you pray like that. Open your eyes. You see, and so forth. So this man, he said, give attentions, and then you see, and hear the supplication of your servant, O Lord God. Hear from heavens your dwelling place, and forgive our sins. You see, he says this. I want to finish with the New Testament. This is not only an Old Testament prayer type. The New Testament apostles have taught us how to pray in this way. Acts chapter 4, that was read to us earlier. And I want to finish with. After John and Peter were released from jail because they were told not to, they healed someone and problem was happening. They were brought before the Sanhedrin, and then they were taken into jail, and people were they were praising people. They were praising God and many people because they were they had a successful ministry, and God really touched many people. People were obeying the Lord, and then those people were very angry. So Peter and John were in jail, and after they were released, they came back to their groups and they reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them, not to speak of the name of the Lord. So when they heard this, in verse 24 of chapter 4, when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. No one has power like your power. That is how they prayed. And that is our prayer today too. And then they prayed. And they said that he is God who keeps his promises. And then they say this, you spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nation rage and the peoples plot in vain? So the persecution against Christ and his people was promised all that time. And God fulfilled this, and now these people, they are praying for God not only not to remove the persecution from them, but to be bold. And then they were bold, actually, we were told. They prayed for that. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. See, even their prayers was just granted. It was answered immediately, isn't it? Yeah, they prayed and then for God really to give them boldness. And they went. Here it is, the boldness. But they prayed the same prayer that Solomon prayed, isn't it? God of heavens, the God they worship is the maker of heaven, this great God. No one can stand before him, there's no one like him. And this is our God. And today, if we come in this attitude of knowing who he is and knowing also our needs, and with this faith and determination to get answer for our prayers, God will meet us. So let us have faith and let us continue to be people of faith, people who trust their God, because there is no God like him. And Jesus Christ himself, he came into this world and gave us this ability to pray. For he is our most high priest, and he is interceding for us, and he prayed for us, and his prayers are answered. You see, his prayers are answered. He prayed his Father that we will be kept in him. And as we believe this in the prayers of our Lord, we will be kept. Yeah, Solomon, in the school of prayers with Solomon, let us learn these lessons and take them to heart. Let me pray.